Really great to get the welcome my guest this morning, Cliff Lindemann. He's a Republican candidate, one of five that'll be on the primary ballot coming up in March, the 115th district. That is the seat that, of course, being left vacant by Terry Bryant, who's going to be, of course, is running for the Senate. First off, Cliff, it's good to meet you.
It's good to meet you. It's good to be here this morning.
How long have you been working in government in Jefferson County?
I've been on the county board for 5.5 years now. I've been the county board chairman for the last year and a half, involved in a lot of the budget process and talking to all the office holders and taking care of things at the courthouse that way.
The problems that you run into in Jefferson County similar to the ones the other counties, or do you have things unique to Jefferson County that...
I think they're all similar. We all have the same budget constraints. We all have the same problem with you've only got so much money to spend and you really don't want to raise taxes on anybody. We have a lot of unfunded mandates from the state of Illinois that we have to take care of. A lot of the things that hurt funding for a lot of counties is the no bail problem. You arrest somebody for breaking the law and they get right out without posting bail, and that's a huge loss in money to a lot of counties, especially one like Jefferson County where we have such a large jail.
And then a second order of effect, because chances are if those folks have committed that one crime, find out they're not really going to be punished in the way that they will, that they'll have a little less hesitancy when it comes to committing another crime, so more money is spent apprehending the second time.
Yes, and the second time the same thing happens. They put them in jail and they don't have money to pay their bail, and they get out, and the cycle just continues.
You know, what caught my attention about your statement was that we only have so much money and we don't want to raise taxes. If you take that one single sentence, you've encapsulated the state of Illinois.
Absolutely.
Or not the Southern Illinois, too. I mean, but that isolates the issue. We don't seem to understand that there's a limit.
In the state of Illinois, we just continue to tax the gas tax and the increased fees on trailers and cars and license plates. A friend of mine posted last night he spent $269 for truck plates and boat plates. That's just, everything you do, the government's reaching into your back pocket and taking some of your money. It's a double taxation on used car sales. When you trade one in, you pay double tax on it. It's got to stop. And Southern Illinois, I think that enough's enough is a pretty good slogan. We're done. We've got to be done with the taxes. We've got to start cutting budgets. And I know people don't want to hear cutting budgets because we all like to have the services and things that we have through the state. But it's got to come a time where we stop. And we've got to start cutting back to where we can stay within our budget. We're chasing businesses and companies out of the state. People don't want to come here because of the unfriendly business atmosphere. That needs to change to bring more jobs here.
Yeah.
We need more jobs. We need jobs in Jackson County and Perry County and in Jefferson County and Union County. We all need more jobs.
It's interesting you're talking about government overreach. I got a message from a friend yesterday about Senate Bill 3313, which was the... prohibit the sale of gas leaf blowers.
Yeah.
Right? And he sent me a note. He says, I have an electric one now, but now I'm going to go buy a gas one. Right? I mean, there's that options pushback thing because we're – and here's the thing. I've known this guy 65 years old, right? And he's not necessarily a confrontational person, but he's been pushed to the point now where he just wants to push back about every government mandate. He's because he said in that very same message what made me – enough's enough.
Correct.
Property taxes is a singular issue when it comes to a problem here. We talk about people leaving the state, but I think it's a symptom of a greater disease, that unquenchable desire for more money. And then we raise taxes, and instead of paying the bills, we go out and spend more money.
Yes.
That's the kind of thing that I did when I was 17 or 18 years old, and then I had no choice but to grow up.
Right.
And I wonder if maybe, I guess, I don't know if grow up is the right word, but some type of maturity that you understand that there's a limit to the amount of taxes, of pressure that you can put on a business before a parasitic government begins to kill its host.
Absolutely. And ethics reform is one of the biggest issues in the state of Illinois right now, and we need ethics reform in the worst way. And part of that is a fair map system. When we draw the maps out, we need independent counsel to draw the maps up fairly. And then the term limits. We need term limits. And the idea of legislatures getting out of office one day and turning into lobbyists the next day, or lobbyists while they're still in office, that stuff's got to stop. That gives them way too much power. way too much control over things, and we need to get this back to where the people run the state.
I'm wondering why I didn't know that legislators could be lobbyists while they were legislators. I didn't know that, I swear, because I had watched legislators register as lobbyists the next day after they lost an election.
Right.
They lost an election on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, they're registered as a lobbyist. But while they were in office?
There's certain situations where they're allowed to, and I don't know all the legal ins and outs about that, but I know that they can do some lobbying while they're in office. I don't know all the ins
where
and outs.
Where the lines
of it,
are. Well,
it's got to stop.
They do, apparently.
It's got to stop.
Got to stop. Let's talk about this. We've isolated the problems. They're pretty easy to isolate. The only one we haven't used is the P word, and that's pensions. Between the pensions, between the property taxes, between the backlog bill of $7.2 billion on any given day, or 6.5 or 6.8, how do we get out of this jam? Now, the governor has said in no uncertain terms when he was in Washington, D.C., the mayor's conference, a 15% across the board cut if he doesn't get progressive taxes passed in November. Is that the way to go? What do you think? What's the way out, Cliff?
That's threatening people, and that shouldn't happen. Our pensions, we owe the people that have been promised the pensions, we owe them what we promised them. Something's got to change now. I know we've gone into a Tier 2, and now there's a Tier 3, which will help, but for short term, there really isn't anything we can do. It's taken many years to get into this situation. It's going to take us a few to get out of it. But there's things that can be done, I feel, at the state level. You know, one of the questions I ask is, how much does it cost to administer all of these pensions? Is there a way that we can cut that down? Are we duplicating services somewhere that we could cut out some? And we're probably
Which,
not.
Which, of course, that legislation, the Illinois Municipal League endorsed it, Brad Cole, to say that, you know, take these and get all these pension plans for first responders, police officers, and put that in one pile. But that'll take years for that to realize its outcome as well.
It will. And the other question I have is are we drawing any interest on this money that we have that we're collecting? The stock market the last few years has skyrocketed. Are we investing our money the best way we can? If not, why not? Let's see what we can do. We need to be getting a good return on our money just to make it more solvent. As the workforce dwindles, there's less people paying in. As people move out of the state, there's less people paying in. And it's going to get into a real bind here real quick.
It's going to be one of the biggest problems we face, but other people have decided they're just going to leave.
Yes.
And I think that's really telling. It's not easy to get up and leave from home.
No.
It's hard,
yes.
And let alone another state or two or three states away. But I think it's one of the symptoms that we have here right now. We talked about the 15% proposed cut if we don't get the progressive taxes. How much should we cut? How should we go about trimming the fat, we'll call it? Because somebody's going to say, I'm not fat, when their job is on the line, and I get that too.
We have to isolate what the fat is. We have to determine what is the fat, where is it at, and then start looking at trimming that. If we don't identify it, we'll never figure it out. Just like businesses, if you're running a business, you've got to identify where your losses are at and cut your losses in order to remain profitable. You talked about people leaving the state. My son left the state 17, 18 years ago to be a firefighter down in Florida. That was long before all this, everybody was the taxes. He left because he wanted to. But we need to encourage our kids to stay in the state. I had always, when I working at Continental Tire for 40 plus years as a supervisor, my wife and I, we always talked about when I retire, we're going to move to Florida. Well, I'm not moving to Florida. I'm going to stay because I choose to stay and fight. I'm not going to back down. I want to do what I can to help this state, to help these people in this district to be profitable, to be a place that people want to move to, to get businesses down here that will employ 40, 50, 500 people, whatever we can do so that we've got to grow this area.
You know, it's interesting. You and I are pretty close, same age. And you could drive down the interstate, and there'd be a rest stop that was open. And if you didn't want that one, there was going to be another one not too long farther down.
Right.
You can remember when you and I would go to a park that it wasn't threadbare and eroded and beat down, cuts on the IDNR, years of cuts. You and I can remember driving down a highway that wasn't littered with potholes and replacement concrete and asphalt. And they're going to go, oh, yeah, nostalgic for the good old days. Yes, actually were. We were not an embarrassment. We're the biggest economies, and we weren't broke. Yes. And then something happened, and then we started to – and I think Southern Illinois has the ability to highlight it because we live on thinner margins.
Yes. We're always the last ones to recover from a downturn in the market, and we always turn slowly. Our highways and roads and bridges are in terrible shape. The capital bill, as long as they do what they say they're going to do with the money and fix these roads and bridges – to where we have good highways and byways and waterways and sewer systems, that will attract people to come into the area, reliable systems. And once we start doing that and people start moving in, of course we have to do something about making it more attractive financially, tax incentives, whatever. We've got to bring people into this area. We've got to have more businesses. Nashville's got a couple of small businesses, and there's no reason why we can't do that in the 115th.